Today our passage comes from Matthew 9, verses 10 through 13. If you would please stand for the reading of the word. Nobody's ever accused me of having a soft voice before. Is that better? Can everybody hear me better now? Okay. Reading in Jesus' name. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to hear your message today, make it your message that is heard. Father, if necessary, just push me completely out of the way so that we may hear what the Holy Spirit has to say today. For Father, we came to see Jesus. As I share your words here today, please hide me behind the cross so that, Father, we may see your Son. We may walk from here with your words written upon our hearts, and we may go and share it with others. And we say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. When I was a little kid, I think I was about 8 when I met him, maybe 9, I hung out with this kid. His name was Jason. And he was someone that I called my best friend. Whenever I went over to my dad's, we did everything together. He was 2 years older than me. I remember specifically that I was 9 and he was 11. And he was so cool because he wore these Motley Crue t-shirts. And he had long hair and an earring. And he smoked, and I just thought he was the coolest guy I'd ever met. And we had fun together. I mean, at least at the time I thought it was fun. I admit that I have a bit of a different perspective on it now. But we got in trouble together. Well, wait, no, I should say I got in trouble. Trouble that I allowed him to lead me into. And trouble that, well, he got me into. Trouble that led to many decisions that I have since regretted. For you see, Jason urged me to ignore, to lie, and to even argue with my parents. Jason urged me to get an earring. He urged me to grow out my hair nice and long like his. Jason actually took the time to teach me how to smoke. He gave me my very first taste of alcohol. And Jason even tried to get me high when I was about 12 on marijuana. Now the thing is, I followed him willingly. I went wherever he wanted to go, I went. Because boy, I so much wanted to be like him. My dad, he constantly warned me about hanging around with Jason. See, my dad knew what kind of trouble Jason could get me into. And Jason did. He got me into a lot of trouble. Much more trouble than I thought. And my dad was like, I know that he can get you in much more trouble than you're thinking, because just by hanging out around him, I could be considered guilty by association. As I was writing this message, I was reminded of a song. It's a really good song. It's a song that I really like. I like listening to it. But sometimes you forget what lyrics really are about. The song is called Bad Company. I don't know, many of you who grew up through the 60s and 70s know that song very well. But as I was looking at the second verse of this song, I was struck by what it says. Because this is how it goes. It says, "Rebel souls, deserters we are called, chose a gun and threw away the sword. Now these towns, they all know our name. The six-gun sound is our claim to fame. And I can hear them say, bad company, and I won't deny. Bad, bad company till the day I die. Till the day I die. As we look at our passage today, I think it's possible that we might need to consider what it means to be bad company. Now, obviously, Jason was not the best example for me growing up. He got me into a lot of trouble, got me addicted to cigarettes, and yeah, he got me drunk for the very first time in my life. I think I was actually maybe 12 when that happened. And I cannot count how many times I got into trouble and had to apologize for the things that we had done together. But that didn't change the way I saw him. See, the problem was that I thought he was so cool. I wanted to be just like him. I mean, he strutted around and, you know, he had that walk. You know, that walk that everybody just thinks, wow. You know, that Richard Pryor walk that you see, right? Yeah. And I somehow thought that if I hung out with him, that I would be cool like him. That by hanging out with him, others would view me the way that I viewed him. Unfortunately, what I didn't know was that the world already viewed me the same way they viewed Jason. They were seeing me as the same type of troublemaker that he was. They were seeing me as bad company. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, we read, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." Now, I admit I didn't see all the bad that I was doing. All I saw was that I was trying to be cool like Jason. And I was being deceived, for I was looking at the coolest guy that I knew and thought that by doing the same things that he was doing, that I would also be cool. That I would be tough. That I'd be respected. How many of us have done that? How many of us have looked up to someone or even followed someone that they knew was, and I'm going to use the air quotes here, bad? You know, but they were bad in that cool way. You know, or maybe you were the bad one that everybody wanted to be like. The one that everybody thought was so cool. I remember in high school and in middle school being caught up in this whole idea of being popular. Have you ever been caught up in that idea? The idea of being really cool, of having everyone like you? You know, it's interesting. It's a term that's used in dating circles. The phrase is that nice guys finish last. The implication being that the bad boy gets the girl. And it sometimes seems like the bad company does get all the good attention. It seems like what we want to gravitate towards are those cool kids. And now, I'm not saying that the cool kids are bad or that they're necessarily a bad group, but let's be realistic for a moment. When I was seeking to be like Jason, who was I actually seeking to please? What was I actually searching for? I was seeking favor with the world. I wanted others to look at me and think that I was so cool. I wanted them to walk down the street strutting like I did. I was seeking company that would glorify me. And I hoped that I would get that attention by hanging around others. Hanging around others who were essentially seeking the same thing. That's something we can all resonate with, isn't it? Wanting to be around others and to like us. But are we keeping bad company when we do that? And if we're keeping that kind of company, is it for the right reasons? What I mean by that is, you know, as we get older, things that we thought were cool to us just aren't as cool anymore. I mean, I remember being 6, 7 years old thinking that Spider-Man was the greatest cartoon that would ever, ever exist, and that I would never stop watching it. I watch those old cartoons now and go, wow, why did I watch that? As we reach adulthood, we sort of grow out of those things, right? I mean, I certainly outgrew Jason. By the time I was 14, I wanted nothing to do with him, and I never wanted to talk to him ever again. But just because I grew out of that bad company, does that mean I've done better? I mean, admittedly, when I look around in my life, I admit that, yeah. I mean, as I look at all of you, some of you who have become close friends, I can say, yeah, I've done much better. I have found a group of friends who are not bad company. I mean, here we don't have any rebel souls, do we? We're not deserters, right? We don't have any of those dirty, bad influences here. Here in this building and within this group, we're insulated from that bad company, aren't we? And that's the way it should be, right? Our Old Testament reading today encourages us in this when it says, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths." So we're all good here, right? Is that the way it should be? Should there only be good, clean Christians here? Should this be a place, a clean room, if you will, sterilized from all bad company? You know, when I think about this, sterile is the word that scares me the most. Because nothing grows in a sterile environment. No seed will sprout, no fruit will grow. In a sterile environment, there is no life. That isn't bad company. That's dead company. Is that what Jesus shows us? Does Jesus say, now that you follow me, find yourself a group of like-minded believers and huddle them in a building? Keep all the bad element out. Is that the example that we see from him? No, I think we know the answer. We even see it in our passage, starting in verse 10. As Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus hung out with the sinners. As a matter of fact, he partied with them. He didn't just hang out with them. They came to his house and partied. They were invited. They were made welcome. And sadly, we see that the Pharisees, who were also at this party, well, they had a reaction that the sterile, dead church would have. Ew. What are those people doing here? The reaction of, why would you welcome them here? Why would you welcome that filth, those low-down, dirty people? Why would you welcome them? Why would you want bad company in your house? Why would you want bad company to be that close to you? See, the thing is, their intent is obvious. It's to point out this bad element and get them removed. Kick those people out. They don't need to be here. But what is Jesus' response to that? Well, we can clearly see that Jesus welcomes the bad company. As a matter of fact, he's sharing his life with them in an intimate way. He's reclining at the same table with them, eating from the same plates. It's like when we have a dinner party and we invite our friends over. And you can see it. Jesus is inviting the bad company in. But why? Why would he want them there? You know, it's interesting, I've pointed this out before, but when we use the word but or however in the Bible, It's amazing how it shifts from law to gospel. Because what we see here is where it changes, because Jesus says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. This is where we see the difference. It can be very clearly seen. See, our desire to idolize bad company, that's the desire of our heart, of this world. That's our desire. Our desire is to idolize the bad company. But Jesus' desire, his desire, is to save the bad company. Jesus is with this bad company to bring them health, wellness, to bring them life. Whereas we're often trying to be the bad company and or maybe even drive it away, Jesus welcomes them in so that they may come to him, that he can make them well. And this is what Jesus charged the church to do. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission, Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. When I was chasing after my so-called friend Jason, I was trying to be his disciple. But when we come to Jesus' party, we're the bad company, seeking to be healed, seeking to find comfort. And we need to let others, we need to invite others into the party. We need to come and bring them to Christ and have their bad company come with them. Now, I know that no one here thinks that we're perfect company. And yes, I know that most of us realize that we are bad company who have been healed, who have reclined at the table of Jesus. And as a church, we would never push anyone away. No one who is truly seeking would always be welcome here. But we need to remember that because of Jesus, we are now his company. And because he is our physician, we have received the healing power of his grace. And that is why we invite others to come, to be part of our party, so that they may be his disciples and become the company of Jesus, that they may choose to throw away their lives and pick up his sword, the Bible, so that all these towns, they'll all know his name. That Jesus' grace is our claim from shame. And they will hear us say, Jesus, Jesus' company. And we won't deny till the day we die. We will proclaim that we have been saved by the Son of God, the one who put his life upon a cross for us sinners, that we've been saved by Jesus Christ, our Savior. As we come to the table today to recline with him, let us remember that it is his blood that has healed us. Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for sending your Son. We thank you that he has given us this opportunity to be at his table. Lord, that we are able to recline with him and be healed by him. Father, help us to write this upon our hearts, to go from here and just, Lord, just share the love of Jesus with everyone we meet. Lord, help us to do life with those who are sick so that they may come to the healer. Let us live in that grace, in that comfort. And Lord, let us rejoice in the sacrifice that your Son made for us. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.